from the front lines of the green rush. This is Green Entrepreneur, where business owners talk about how they found success in cannabis and how you can too.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Green Entrepreneur podcast. My name is John Small, I'm the editor-in-chief of Green Entrepreneur. My guest on the show today is James Kim, who is the co-founder and managing director of Steezy, which is part of the Shrine Group, a vertically integrated cannabis holding company in California. James is also a U.S. Army veteran who served in Iraq when he was only 19 years old. His experience using cannabis to treat his PTSD created a passion to build his own cannabis company, and I'm delighted to have James with me on the show. James, welcome. So let's start off with your backstory a little. I know you are a California native, right? From Cerritos, I believe?
Yeah, born and raised in California.
Born and raised in Southern California. And you joined the Army at the age of 19. I'm wondering what prompted that decision.
I actually joined the Army when I was 18, right out of high school. Just joined because my father had a history with serving his country as well. I thought it was a great idea, and I just wanted to be a part of something bigger than just attending college. So went to my recruiter, looked at some options, and 6 weeks later, I sent off to basic training.
Wow. And how was it? Was it much more intense than you expected it to be? The training and then the actual tour of duty?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Being 18 years old, especially from Los Angeles, a city boy, it was really tough for me to kind of transition to military life. You know, just being outdoors, being in the South, humidity wasn't something that I was used to at all. So that was something to get used to.
And after basic training, did you go right to serve?
Yeah, so right after basic training, I had went to the 101st Airborne Division. And about 6 months later, we had got sent down to Iraq.
Wow. So that must have been intense. I mean, you're 18 years old. Was it scary?
Definitely. I was a young kid. My peers were all 18, 19. We were all young. We felt invincible at the time, but it was definitely scary, especially when I landed boots on ground into Baghdad in the city. That was the first time ever feeling kind of surreal and unknown to what would happen. So it was definitely worrisome.
Can't imagine that feeling. So did you see a lot of active combat? What kind of experience did you have there? Are you able to talk to me about it at all?
Yeah, I could talk a little bit about the experience. You know, the experience was both good and bad. We landed in the fall of 07. So traditionally, a lot of the local fighters don't really come out in the winter, thinking something about the winter. But what was very unique for my experience, actually, it snowed in Iraq the winter I was there, and it hadn't snowed for over 100 years. I think that was like probably the weirdest experience I had, and actually nobody came out in the whole city because it was such a surreal thing to happen in the desert. When spring happened, we called it spring madness. That's when they all came out, and there was a lot of fighting at that point.
So again, you don't have to, anything that is makes you uncomfortable to talk about, please let me know and I can certainly edit this. But I'm curious because I know when you came back, you suffered from the symptoms of PTSD. Can you tell me a little bit about that and what PTSD really is?
Well, PTSD is a post-traumatic stress disorder. So it can be derived from combat or a trauma, like by rape or, you know, being beat up as a little kid from your family. From my experience, we lost two buddies while I was over there, but we had a bunch of casualties in the local area. So there was a lot of things going on, but I think it was just an overall compound effect of just being young, seeing my buddies pass, at the same time, not being able to mourn and just kind of going back into your typical 16-hour days. And just the overall workload, we operated about 7 days a week, an average of 16 to 18 hour days. So there's a lot of stress just from working. And then on top of that, the trauma and just being young in a new place, it really compounded out. So by the time I came out, I didn't think I was different until I got back to LA. So when I got back to LA, I started to notice that I wasn't the same person no more. I didn't want to go out on adventures or go camping or any of these leisure things that I really enjoyed before. I would just kind of bottled up, kind of stayed at home, didn't want to be in public. And I was abusing a lot of alcohol and drugs at the time. So for about 3 years, I kind of went off on this spiral downwards and didn't know it until a buddy of mine kind of mentioned it to me. So that's really when I checked into the VA.
So you had the awareness to, you know, that it was desperate enough where you felt like you needed to get some help.
Most definitely. You know, when you are a person that loves the outdoors and enjoy being around people, and then all of a sudden you just want to be in a dark room, it's not something that you want to grow into. So I just took the self-awareness and said, hey, I want to check myself into the VA. Let me see what's going on. And actually that first meeting really opened my eyes to, I have a lot going on in my mind, and there's a lot of damage.
So how did the VA treat PTSD?
For my experience, I don't know about other people's experience, but for my experience, it was a lot of therapy, group sessions. But also the negative thing that I felt was they kind of loaded me up with prescription drugs. That was the first thing. The first meeting I had, I just went to a doctor. He prescribed me antidepressants, anti-anxiety, night terrors, like medicine, a bunch of medicine that I didn't really want to take. And that's kind of how they treated me in the beginning.
Yeah. And did you not want to take it because of the way you made it feel, or did you have past experiences, bad experiences, or did it make you feel even more kind of out of it and crazy? What was the effect of these drugs, medications that they were giving you?
To be honest with you, I didn't even take any of them. I actually got prescribed around 300 pills that day. But being in the military and seeing a lot of my buddies go through this problem, I saw them actually become like zombies. And I didn't really want to become like them. So I made the conscious decision not to take it. And I just kind of went towards cannabis. I used cannabis first for my anger issues. Obviously, we all know cannabis makes you enjoy life a little bit more and makes things a little bit funnier. So I used cannabis to kind of make me a little bit more passive. And that was kind of the start point of the journey.
Right. Had you used cannabis before you left, or was it something you sort of discovered after all this happened to you?
You know, I dabbled in it, I experimented with it, but definitely being in the service, you can't use any types of drugs. So I really experimented with it more when I got out and fell in love with it.
And you found that it helped with the PTSD?
Definitely helped with not only my anger, but just my overall relationship skills with my friends and my family. And it also helped me start to be more aware.
Be more aware of what?
Just how different I was.
So let's talk about how you transitioned from being a cannabis user to being a cannabis entrepreneur. Take me through the steps of that transition for you.
I was using cannabis a lot, so it would help me through dealing with bad times, even with good times. So I had built a huge passion around it. In 2016, when the laws passed for California, I knew I had to figure out a way to be in this business. So I started a lot of research and development. I started thinking a lot. It took me about 2 years to really come up with Steezy. And I wanted to make a vaporizer device because that was something very new to the space. And that's kind of how I launched out the brand.
So you called it Steezy. And tell a little bit of the backstory there. It's based on a word, steeze. And tell me a little bit about what that word meant to you and your Southern California friends.
So steeze is like a California slang. It's not used so much nowadays, but I really thought it would resonate with me. Style plus ease. Is what steeze means. And I just put a little twist to it to give it a little bit more depth and something that was more meaningful to me. So I changed the ease to eyes, and I gave eyes a little bit more definition, which are inspire, innovate, and influence. And these three things that I really are passionate about, especially with the innovation of the device. I love to inspire, and I love to influence people for positive things.
That's so cool. So the three eyes between in the steezy word. I want to dig into that a little bit deeper. I want to understand about the innovation. Tell me a little bit about how the Steezy cartridge system is innovative and how it was different than other things out there.
In the past, when I was using as a consumer of vaporizer devices in the space, the thing that heated up the oil was, I believe, obsolete at the time. So I wanted to come up with something that was more compatible with oil. The technology that was used in cannabis prior was actually technology taken from nicotine vaporizers, which are two different solutions. So once I identified that, I knew that there was a lot of changes that needed to be done and a lot of innovation that needed to make the oil not burn or leak and just taste correct.
And so did you work with different engineers, scientists? How did you make this vision of yours into a reality?
I was actually a big hobbyist of nicotine vaporizers. We know them today like Juul, but there's a big hobbyist sector in that space that you have to customize devices, customize ways to heat up the oil, and even customize your own flavors. So I've been a part of that since 2012 and dabbled in it, and I saw the advancements back then and to what it is today. So I didn't really work with it.
Yeah, you were doing this yourself. You were kind of like experimenting yourself.
Yeah, it was a whole hobbyist movement. It's almost like building computers back 20, 30 years ago. It was the same with vaporizers. So I was already doing it as a hobby. I used it to quit cigarettes. I quit cigarettes back in 2011. And I found electronic cigarettes, and just having the vast experience in the device and how the heating elements work really set me up for success with cannabis. So when I was speaking to factories that were making these devices, I was actually pushing them towards a device that I wanted to make and how I wanted to pretty much build it.
That's so cool. So it started off with the device, right? Was that the beginning of your company?
Yes. Yes.
How did you expand it and scale it to be, you know, now you've got 300 employees and it's a vertically integrated company. You have a flagship store in downtown LA, which I want to talk to you about. But tell me about how you grew it.
I didn't grow it just by myself. I have a big team. I have a great team and I have great partners that handle all different types of parts of the business. So I predominantly handle the CZ brand, but I have a lot of great partners that handle other parts of the business that are just too complicated for myself.
But was it your decision to make it vertically integrated?
It was actually my partner's decision to make that food vertically integrated.
And do you know sort of what the thinking was behind, rather than having just a product that kind of to do the whole seed to shelf approach?
I believe it's based off of just wanting to control everything from the seed to sale aspect of the business, and also not relying on anyone else but ourselves. I felt that that was going to be able to create the highest level of success if we just rely on ourselves and not others. If we relied on, say, a farm to produce quality flowers, but they weren't able to produce it the way we wanted, then we fail as a company overall. So there's a lot of pros and cons to being fully integrated. Obviously, the pros are quality control and watching every step from seed to sale. But the cons are obviously operational headaches, dealing with every point. Like as you said, why don't we just deal with just the brand and not the other stuff? But with the new landscape, why not? And if we have the opportunities, why not seize those opportunities?
So I'm curious, so you are really a branding expert and Steezy's very well branded. Tell me a little bit about the decision process behind how you sort of come up with your brand positioning, the way the brand looks and feels, and it's sort of marketing. Tell me a little bit about how you make those decisions.
Actually, I'm not actually a brand expert or branding expert or marketing expert. I have no prior education or experience with this. This is very authentic and organic for me. I always use the word, but this word it will probably resonate the best, is I kind of freestyled this brand together. So I just put it together based off of what I felt was authentic to not only me, but to what the brand will become one day, and put the name together, put some logos together, and launch the brand.
So is it very sort of true to the sort of spirit of the sort of community you're in there in Southern, or here in Southern California, the sort of Steez community?
Yeah, so I wanted to build a lifestyle brand that not only spoke to the core cannabis consumers, but to the new. Obviously, being born and raised in Southern California, we had such a rich cannabis culture already. As I was building the brand from scratch, I just wanted to really have something that resonates with the consumers. So when we launched it, it actually worked because it was so organic to not only me, but the consumers, because the consumers are individuals that I grew up with in Southern California.
So you have this incredible store downtown, your flagship store in downtown Los Angeles. Describe it for those who haven't been there yet or haven't had the pleasure to go there yet. Can you sort of describe it for us and describe a little bit about how you came up with the concept for it?
Yeah, so we actually had an opportunity to build our retail store, and we wanted to be the first CZ flagship retail store, but we wanted to make it very different from all the dispensaries that are on the market today. So one of the main things that I wanted to build was experience within the retail. So we tied in a lot of great things other than just selling cannabis. So we have in our lobby like an amazing art gallery that will be kind of switching out the paintings every 6 months or so. We also have what we call Instagrammable pods. These are like units that you take selfies in, and they really relate to millennials. For me, being a millennial myself, it was something to make again for my peers. So I wanted this very experiential retail store to be there and not only have you come and purchase, but you can experience all the different colors, the lights, the music, so that's a full-blown experience.
And there's lots of art and like local artists and very famous artists, right? It's a gallery as well.
Yes. Yeah, so we do also have a mural done by the world-famous Retina. He gave us a great mural on our, I believe, 29-foot wall. That was one of the biggest pieces that we have in the retail store.
And do you guys, it's a large space. And what was the concept behind it? So it's more like you said, it's an experience. So you walk in, you're not just like buying weed. You're like experiencing this whole thing, like music, art. What's your vision for that? Like just a place that people want to hang out?
My vision for it? There was no real vision for it. I mean, I just kind of took some time. I used cannabis and I just let my imaginations run wild. And that's what the Steezy store really became, was just my imagination on cannabis. So that's what the Steezy store became.
It sounds like a lot of your decisions are just based on what your kind of like what your instincts are about, like, well, what do I like? You know, what do I want? Is that kind of
exactly
how you've approached your business? It's like, yeah, like you said, you're not formally trained, you didn't go to business school, etc., but you sort of have a good instinct for what you know you like, and so you try to translate that into your brand.
It's not so much what I like, but what I feel like my peers will like. So being born and raised in Southern California, again, there's a lot of people that use cannabis. There was a huge cannabis culture before 2018, and it's just really putting together what I felt that the users would like, and being so relatable to them growing up in this town, growing up and really being a part of not only LA County, but Orange County and Inland Empire and also Northern California. I felt that it was just so organic and so authentic that they were just wide open arms to receiving the brand.
Now you're Asian American, right? Are you of Korean descent? I think so, right?
Korean Kim. Descent.
Yeah. I feel like that's, there's not as much of a presence, and this is in my impression, just in going to events and reading about cannabis and covering this, that there, you guys are definitely a minority within the cannabis industry. Do you agree with that? I mean, are you kind of growing in your presence as Asian Americans in the industry?
I mean, I wouldn't know too much because I don't know what's behind the scenes on a lot of these other entities, but definitely Asian Americans are rare in this space. I truly think it's because of our culture. You know, like cannabis was looked negatively upon as far as our older generation. So they were very close-minded to cannabis. But today in 2019, it's changed so much. And I'm very excited to see how even the older Asian generations are being willing to use the plant to help them with either sleep or pain or whatever they might use it for.
How are your parents with what you do for a living? Are they cool with it? You mentioned that your dad is a military guy.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's 2019, so it's not like what it was in the early 2000s and the late 90s. So they're very open-minded and they love what I do and they love how passionate I am and they just support me because I have so much passion.
Yeah, that's awesome. So tell me about, are you reaching out to other veterans, given your experience and your positive experience with cannabis and treating your PTSD? Have you been doing outreach to other veteran groups or veterans individually to help them through similar situation?
Yeah, I've definitely reached out to a lot of veterans, most closest to me first. So the ones I served with, the ones I went to high school with, and also the ones that reached out to me. So I've spent a lot of time speaking with them, not only about their problems, but just like business, mentorship, or whatever I can bring value to. As far as advocacy groups, we're working with a group called Battle Brothers, which help veterans with their document process for PTSD. So working with them currently, we have a camo battery we're launching November for Veterans Day, and 20% of the proceeds will be going into this organization.
Right. That's great. What advice do you give to potential entrepreneurs? I'm sure a lot of people see your success and ask you, you know, how do I get into this business? You know, is there anything that you tell people to kind of get them inspired?
Yeah, definitely. Just to stay motivated. Also to understand what's going on first. The regulations are tough. The regulations are something that you must understand to be in this space. And also it's a new industry. So there's no playbook to study. There's no past case studies. It's all brand new. People are writing out what's going to be for the future. So you got to be able to be nimble and be resourceful as well.
Can you give me your take? So you're in the vaporizer business. And of course, as you know, the vaporizer industry is under the microscope these days because of all these vape related illnesses. And it's my understanding that most of these illnesses, or the large majority of illnesses and deaths, are a result of the black market industry and the sort of vitamin E acetate and things that are. So what is your company's position on all that? I know that vaporizing is a big part of your life. I mean, you said you were a hobbyist. What is your take? You've probably seen the black market and the other market and the legal market. Do you think it's all black market caused these illnesses?
I don't know what the causes are. I'm obviously following up, reading upon CDC or FDA's response. I just think it's a huge public safety concern, and we need to figure out what the cause are, if it's either black market or vaporizers or whatever it is going to be that's causing these illnesses. So hopefully the CDC comes out with something sooner than later with what is the reason for these illnesses.
In the meantime, you guys, what do you guys do to ensure that your products are safe?
So by the California state law, we need to get them tested. So we get all our products tested. And in most recent times, because of this scare, I believe we've tested our product for other substances that might be an issue. And we've tested clean for all those products as well.
Well, that's great. Well, James, thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for your service and for doing this interview. And best of luck to your organization and keep up the good work.
Thanks for having me.
All right, man. Take care. James wants to pledge 20% of each Tamiflu battery sale beginning November 1st to the Battle Brothers Foundation in support of their Veterans Disability Claim programming. So during November, veterans who visit Steezy retail stores and provide a VI identification card will receive a limited edition twill hat with American flag patch embroidered with So the staff and bud tenders at Steezy California retail stores will wear special edition lanyards in support of this campaign. And Steezy's commitment to veterans is really year long and includes a 10% discount at all Steezy stores.